Okay, you guys ready for the best of 2016?
Then you are.
Yes.
Good, good, good. Okay. Which category do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with hardware, because as anybody who listens to our podcast regularly will know, I in particular have had, you know, my complaints about Apple this year, but there's no denying that they got some things right. So what are the best bits of hardware that they have produced in 2016?
Okay, take it, Sarah.
Well, I'm using them right now, the AirPods. I think the AirPods are just an amazing technological leap forward. They make Bluetooth headphones actually work, and they sound good, and they're comfortable, and they're just a breakthrough product.
Okay. Tim, are you using them also?
No, I've ordered mine, but they won't arrive until 2030 or something. February. Actually, they were due to arrive on February the 14th, I think. So Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Excellent.
Yes. But I've tried out Sarah's, and yes, they're great. Their W1 chip is really doing some magic in there, and they're not inexpensive, but I tried them for quite a short period of time and rapidly decided that the investment was worth it.
Have you tried them with anything that isn't specific? Well, have you tried them with anything that's not an Apple device?
No.
Okay. Just curious. I wondered how they worked as an ordinary Bluetooth set of earphones.
Well,
good question.
They work, of course, very well transferring between your devices because they hook into your iCloud account. So once you've paired them on your phone, they're there for your iPad and for your Mac. But we haven't tried anything else.
How do you switch between them?
You don't really have to. It kind of works it out for itself. As to whatever's on or wherever you are. You know, I walk up to my Mac and it says, okay, you're using Sarah's AirPods. And then I go and sit down with my iPad and it says, right, you're using Sarah's AirPods. And it all just works.
Wow, that's nice. That's very nice.
It's very nice. Okay.
Cool.
So
what's your favorite thing, Tim? Well, I'll let Tim go first.
Okay.
Okay. I'm extremely happy with my iPhone 7 Plus. I can't really fault it. At work, I use it with earbuds that use the little adapter to plug in, and that's fine. And at home, I will eventually use it with AirPods. At the moment, I just use it with the earbuds. I'm using it right now with the earbuds that that came with it. But I'm extremely happy with the camera and the overall device. I think it's great. I had a little rant in mind, which I won't go on about, but the executive summary of it is that for many years now we hear people criticizing Apple for not bringing out basically a whole new category like an iPhone every year, but having been in this game since the beginning of microcomputers, we went for years and years and years where 1 year we'd get the Motorola 68000 and the 68020 and the 68030, and we got all excited about those things. Or if you were on PC, the 8080 and then the 80286 and the 386 and the 486. So these were all just incremental things, and it just strikes me that there's been a lot of hype. There's no great sin against incremental improvements and refinements to a product, and the 7 Plus is a refinement of the iPhones that have come before, and I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. No, I totally agree. Well, my carry on with that thought. My favorite device, and I'll two subcategories. One is the ones I bought, of course. I know. So I got an iPhone SE, and just like a week ago, and that's been
a
very interesting experience. Yeah, that's been a very interesting experience. It's got a lot of the it's got the hardware stuff in that it's nice and fast and all that good stuff and a few little refinements, but basically it's back to the future, you know. It's like going back a few years, which is kind of an interesting experience. And it's very, very easy to use one-handed, which was one of my main motivations. So I like it a lot. It works great. It's plenty fast and easy to keep a hold of. I had a little trouble with my 6. I've heard the 7 is great for gripping, so, you know, I would have gotten that if I'd bumped up. But I just thought I'd opt out and save the money this year, and it did that. But of the stuff I didn't buy that I thought was a breakthrough product, I thought the iPad Pros in general, I thought, are great products. But I really like the smaller one, the standard size iPad Pro. I didn't get one, but I've you know, gone down to the Apple Store and Best Buy and lusted over one several times. And in particular, the pencil. Using the pencil and the way the...
Oh, that's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Yeah, the pencil and the keyboard. Those are... Wow. With respect to the keyboard, the way it interacts with the device in that it doesn't use any Bluetooth, it has a direct connect. And I am surprised more third-party people didn't emulate that and just chose to stick with the Bluetooth. But I guess it might be licensing or who knows what's going on behind the scenes there. But anyway, yeah, my hardware pick.
I think you're right. I think the pencil is another standout product. I've forgotten that one.
Yes. But since it almost doesn't exist right now without the iPad Pro, I thought, well, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd seen the demos, but using it was a, but using it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have an honorable mention in the hardware category because it's not a complete device; it's a portion of a device, and that's the Touch Bar on the MacBook Pro. Not super impressed with the MacBook Pro as a whole, but I think the Touch Bar is a very interesting device, and if they sold that for an external keyboard that I could use on my iMac, I would be very interested to try it out.
Interesting. Yes. A lot of people are raving about that, and it's becoming a new category of software too. Things that use it. And, yeah, quite a thing. Okay, shall we move on to the next category?
Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay. What did we have on our list?
I can't remember exactly, but the best piece of iOS, the best feature in the latest iOS.
Yes. Well, take it. What do you think, Sarah?
I use messages an awful lot. And I really enjoy, I don't use stickers very much, but I really like the tap back where you can respond to a message just with a thumbs up or a heart or a laugh or whatever.
Yeah, so we use that. You and I both use Spark, and we like that too. It does the same thing with
email. Yeah, it does the same thing for mails. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that the additions to messages, I think, are one of the outstanding features of iOS 10. What do you reckon, Tim?
Nothing leapt to mind, but when you started talking about messages, an app which I think is brilliant, I remember during the keynote they were mentioning what they'd done with what they were doing with emojis and effects and so forth, and I thought, I didn't think a lot of it, but once I actually got to use it, I think that... Messages has overall been made a much stronger app, and I can never forget that Messages saves us from conventional phone texts with, in Australia, the charges are considerable for those. So Messages is a brilliant app, and I think that it's they've made it better. So yeah, I'm very keen on Messages.
So you like the emoji?
Oh, yeah. The emojis, they look like a gimmick, but in fact, at least communicating between friends and family, they're fun, and they make the messages more stimulating.
Yeah, I think they do too. In fact, when you get near the holiday season, you know, you tend to, because we're all colored by that, because we're in the midst of it now, the end of it, and you use your devices differently toward the end of the year when it's in the holiday season, because you are communicating more with friends and relatives, and particularly, like, you guys have folks up in Europe and what have you, and we're in the U.S., of course, but we have our daughters in Holland, so we and our, you know, family spread out all over the U.S., so a lot of these communication features of iOS have been really, really great. And, you know, my mom doesn't have it. She doesn't have an iPhone. So my brother or, you know, sister-in-law, they have to go over and show her stuff, you know, that I'm sending to them so she can see it too. So you don't realize how important these things are until, you know, there's a little piece of it that's not working for someone in your family. But, yeah, I would say the communication features in general have really bumped up a notch, and I really appreciate it in this time of year. That's what I would say about iOS.
Okay, well, what about the best features of macOS Sierra?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back now. We've used it for a few months, and you kind of you absorb all the new features, and you stop and think, what is new? I don't use Siri much on my Mac. Well, hardly at all. I mean, it works very well, but I don't tend to want to talk when I'm at my Mac.
Yeah, it's funny how we get into these kinds of habits, you know, and they keep you from it. If you don't push yourself, there's a lot of features you just don't use, and especially since we spend so much time on our phones, and in my case on my iPad, it's easy to overlook what's already there on the Mac. But I think the handoff stuff is incredibly cool. But more than anything, I just think the fit and finish for the Mac hardware and software is really pretty nice. I was surprised when I went to Best Buy with a friend a couple weeks ago, just how beautiful, I mean, just breathtakingly beautiful the industrial design is on Apple's most recent products, 2016. I mean, they are just beautiful. And I'll say the same thing about the Mac OS. The colors, the translucence, the way the windows work, everything is just thought through so carefully and so nicely. I know people complain a lot about little things here and there, but wow. I mean, if you look at the alternatives, and Best Buy is a good place to go because you see everybody else's stuff too. Best Buy, you see it all together, and you realize, yeah, it's definitely in its own category. And when we ding Apple, it's an internal thing we're doing. It's not compared to everybody else most of the time.
Yeah. I've got one for you.
You've just reminded me. Okay, carry on.
In Photos, they introduced a thing. Was it in Sierra that they introduced this thing, Memories? Which
yes.
They put together collections of photos from a time period or a location. And we've seen stabs at this sort of thing, I think, over the years, if my memory serves me well. And so my expectation was not that high, but they're brilliant. I was really, really impressed, hugely impressed. So anybody who's into photography and hasn't tried the Memories feature in the Photos app, then I would urge you to give it a shot, because there must be some very clever code in there, because I was very impressed with the result.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things, Tim.
Why that?
Because that's not just a Mac OS feature, that's on iOS as well. So you can do that on your iPhone or iPad.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm looking at it. I'm sitting here talking on my phone, but I'm looking at it on my iPad to try and remember it correctly. Yes, you can do it in Photos anywhere, and it is amazingly good.
Yeah, I think the thing that this is another differentiator between Apple and a lot of other folks. You can Tim Cook really believes in surprises. That's something he says in interviews every once in a while. When people really press him on what Apple's plans are, what they're going to do, he said, "We don't have enough good surprises in our lives." And, you know, I think this is one of them. You know, the way that works, as I understand it, you don't do anything. They just start appearing.
That's correct.
Right?
Yep. You don't do a goddamn thing.
Magic.
It puts music to it. It does the fades. It chooses the photos. And I can't help but feel that it doesn't just choose any photos. It really is choosing the photos that the photos are the most interesting photo. I'm flicking through one now, and it really makes you look good. It chooses all the photos that are crisply focused with nice contrast and varying subject matter, and then it puts it all to music. I hadn't looked at this one I'm looking at now of a family get together, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, the challenge I think is for Apple to get this stuff in the forefront, because so many of the things they do well, they get absolutely no credit for.
Yes,
that's
yes.
For sure. But I would say that a lot of the things, giving Tim some slack and taking back his disqualification, a lot of the really good things this year in the operating systems are shared. So we have messages in both Mac and iOS that are brilliant. We have photos, and this Moments feature, which is fantastic, is in both Mac and iOS. Another thing that I find really good is Notes. Where you can have notes, you know, you just write your notes on your iPad and they're there on your iPhone or your Mac or whatever. What else? Well, Siri is now on both, but like I said, I don't really use that very much. But you mentioned, Jerry, the handoff. A combination of handoff plus iCloud, I think they're not merging the two platforms, but they're giving them much the same facilities. But, of course, you operate them in two completely different ways.
Right, right. But they are very nicely linked. And there's a lot of subtlety in the way they do things. If you use other platforms, you know, like Android or, you know, I got a Chrome OS device, so I use Android and Chrome OS on that. You'll see how everything works. I mean, it's not that it doesn't work, but it's the way it works and that sort of thing. There's a lot of subtlety in the way that things work together with the Apple devices.
That's for sure. Okay, I have another mention that doesn't really fit into either category, but I have to weasel it in somehow, and that is Swift, which is the programming language that Apple introduced in 2014, and they open-sourced it just over a year ago. But Swift 3 was announced in June, and came out in September. And Swift 3 is really the language coming into its own. The early versions of Swift, they said themselves, it's Objective-C without the C. So they were providing a transition path almost for developers who knew Objective-C to move smoothly into Swift without too many syntactical changes to have to make. With Swift 3, they've stepped out of the shadow of their big brother and they're striding off into the future as their own language, and it is wonderful.
Well, tell me the differentiating factors between the two.
Okay. the main one that they were really focused on this year is naming conventions for your APIs, for your own functions that you write. They want, the emphasis is to make it super readable, at not so much at the function, but where you call the function. So everything is designed to make your code read well in English. And then so then it's understandable.
Yeah, that's good, because that's often the challenge, is a lot of languages are, you know, it's a wasted effort, in my opinion, to make a language easy to write, because we have such good autocomplete these days in most environments. So writing shouldn't be that much of an effort. The real, the muscles, I agree with you, should go behind making it readable. Yes.
Yeah, because there's other people have got to use it. And even when you come back in 6 months' time and you've got to try and update your code or fix a bug, you've got to be able to read it.
Yeah, yeah. Your code,
so Swift 3
your
is
code
definitely
gets cold.
One of my... Yeah, it does. Swift 3 is one of, is probably my standout Apple product of 2016.
Oh, wow. Okay. Shall we go around and see what apps we like? What do you think, Sarah? What's your favorite app?
If I can go to the Mac, I think the, again, along with Swift 3, Xcode 8 is a good improvement on Xcode, but I think my absolute favorite app of the year just recently is Spark, the email client, which came from iOS to Mac, and I really love it.
Ooh, very good. Tim?
Well, my my app is not very exciting or glamorous, but when Sarah raised this question, and I was thinking, well, what do I use and really enjoy? It was Numbers, Apple's Numbers, Apple's spreadsheet program. it's extremely polished, and it's got better in every iteration. And to somebody who started with SuperCalc, which was a VisiCalc clone, and moved on to MultiPlan, and then switched from MultiPlan to Excel, and then I used Excel forever, and then finally the switch to Numbers, it was a bit of a jolt going to Numbers, and but Apple have just made it better and better. So it's it may not be exciting, but I make my living doing accounting and spreadsheets, and Numbers is doesn't have the immense sophistication or depth of Excel, but crucially, it does everything I want, and so I love it.
So you think you like it because there's less clutter and less things to get in the way? Is that what you're saying? That's why you like it over Excel?
Yes, it is very clean in an Apple sense. And there's only one or two features of Excel that are missing, and they're not crucial for me. And but really, it's just a very elegant, elegant spreadsheet. So the other one is even more boring, and that is Safari. I really like using Safari. I think it's a great browser.
Yeah, I use Safari too. I don't use Chrome. Do you use Safari, Sarah?
90% or 99% of the time, the only thing I use Chrome for is when I get to a site that requires Flash. I don't have Flash installed in my system, but Chrome comes with a kind of a sandboxed version of Flash built in, so I turn to that if a site absolutely demands Flash.
Yeah,
I use Firefox for government.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. What I do is we don't all the stuff the government stuff here runs pretty well on Safari, so I don't have any problem with that. But I do every once in a while run into some Flash, and I just take the luxury of the liberty of just saying to myself, this site is not worthy of my attention, and I just leave. So I don't bother with Chrome.
That's the other one.
My
okay,
favorite
so what's
app.
Your favorite Mac app?
My Mac app and my iOS app are the same app. I like Bear. B-E-A-R.
And it's a Markdown client, right? A Markdown editor?
Yeah, it's a Markdown editor. And thing I like about it is several things. One is it comes from Italy, which we don't see, you know, a ton of software coming out of Italy. And I spent time in Italy, and I love the country, and I love their sense of life and design. And it's they did a great job of doing an app that is fun to use, beautiful, in a spare kind of flat design way. Bear is a beautiful app. It's doing something that, you know, Markdown. It's not like it's gives you an editor for editing video or something flashy or a game, but it does something very standard that people need to do. They need to write text, and it does a great job of it. And it has a few issues with syncing between devices. You can find yourself thinking you lost something, and it actually didn't lose. But I think that has to do with the way you sync with iCloud, and Sarah and I are pretty familiar with some of the problems with that. But it's a beautiful app, and yeah, that'll be my app of 2016.
Okay, well, you've covered both Mac and iOS in one hit. Tim and I have only done the Mac side, so if I can revert to iOS, I was just trying to think through, and I think Apple Maps, it has hugely improved in iOS 10. It's beautiful. It's getting more and more accurate, more and more useful. This time around, they added one feature which I really wanted, which was the ability to tell it that you did not want to use toll roads. So I'll go with Apple Maps.
Ooh, good choice. What do you say, Tim?
Well, when I was talking about Numbers and Safari, that I'm afraid I was also thinking of the desktop and the and iOS. But if I had to come up with an iOS specific app, I'm not. There's Microsoft. Is it Microsoft who make Outlook? I like Outlook. I'm using it as,
yes,
as
it is Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, I use it in an attempt to quarantine our business email from our private email.
I
put everything through Outlook for the business, and I think it's a great little app. So I will pump for that one.
Okay.
Our business
uses
Google Apps, so it's effectively a Gmail account. And I think there are quite a few email clients out there that are pretty heavily designed towards excellent support for Gmail apps in particular. And this is Microsoft Outlook. Presumably they support Outlook addresses as well, but they seem to be really good at Gmail.
Interesting, yeah. I had not used the Outlook on the Mac or iOS, but I did try it on my Chromebook as an Android app, and it was an interesting experience. I also used Inbox, the, the Gmail client.
An interesting experience sounds. Would you like to elaborate on? Yeah.
In general, it's been a very interesting experience using Android on a Chromebook. I had to go through the whole process that, you know, Sarah is one of those people, so am I, who tries out a lot of email clients because we're always looking for a better one. We both like Spark, but there's no Spark on Android. So, I had to go looking again, which was an interesting experience. So I tried four different email clients, and I ended up with an indie email client on Android, which is interesting, called Bluemail. Which is, you know, it's very similar to Spark, same design sense.
I think
but,
I think
Outlook,
I tried
Outlook
that one on iPad.
Did you? Yeah, it's not as good.
The Blue Mail? But I think it was pretty good. I mean, I went through a phase of a couple of months where I tried about 6 or 8 iPad apps.
Right.
I seem to remember Blue Mail was one of them.
Yeah, it's not a bad app, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's far, far less to choose from in Android when it comes to good apps. You are limited. You know, it's not the same world. We have so much choice with iOS. It's crazy. And you know, I'm picky, I'll admit it, but I am looking for a category of app, and I'm not looking for them to work like iOS. I'll settle for them, you know, working like Android apps and using Material Design and all that stuff. But, you know, they should work well. And I have run into a couple that do work well and are, you know, very high quality, world class apps, but they're harder to find, much harder to find. So that's it.
Okay, so
is that
we've
our
been through our categories. I think so. We've gone hardware, we've gone operating systems. Oh no, one last thing. Watch OS 3.
Again,
you know, just an evolution, but they were really tweaking that, you know, they'd worked out then how people used the watches. They took away the glance and they added the dock, and they added, you know, well, they added speed. That was the main thing. That's the biggest thing in WatchOS 3. It made the watch really fast.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement.
Previously. Yeah. So that was, WatchOS 3 is a huge step forward for the watch.
Yes, and, you know, I listened to a podcast with Mike Hurley and Federico Fatici and their other partner, Stephen Hackett. And, boy, you know, one of them, I think it was Mike Hurley, lost his something happened to his watch, his first watch. And so he had to go down to Apple and buy a watch, too. And he loves the new watch OS. But he said it's unbelievable, the new watch. He said it's so much better, especially the battery life. He said he goes a hard day with his watch and uses it a lot, and he's still got 70% left.
Well, I think that was another thing. WatchOS 3 used a lot less battery life, but I agree, the Watch Series 2 hardware, it will be interesting. But I also think that the sales of the Apple Watch over this holiday period will have been huge. We know one person who was trying to buy one, and they were told there was not one available in Queensland.
Well, that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yep.
People vote with their wallets, and I think that's what we'll find out when we see the financials, which are coming up here, you know, first quarter. When do the financials come out? You should know this, Tim.
Well, I don't. As it turns
March?
Out, I don't
is
know
it. Is it?
But
it seems that. Why do I think it's February? Is that possible?
Well, yeah. You would expect that their quarter ends on presumably on the 31st of December, and then it takes the accountants usually about 6 to 8 weeks to get it all polished up, and Yeah, so I would be expecting it in late February, early March.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that, and I look forward to working with you guys in 2017 on some new podcasts.
You too, Jerry.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll have to think up some
All right.
interesting topics to keep everybody entertained.
All right. You guys take it easy. Have
have
a great New Year's.
You too, Jerry.
Happy New Year to everybody. Bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
And to all. Adios.